Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your presence. God, thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you are at work in our lives. Thank you for this gathering, and thank you for being in our midst. Now we pray for the Holy Spirit, the light of Jesus Christ, to shine forth into our hearts. God, would you capture us, our attention? God, would you bring your word to bear, God, in our people? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The Christians were called in the, weren't called Christians. So for many who know that, Christians were called the Way. So we used to say, you know, the Way. I don't know how many people see the Star Wars TV show, Mandalorian. You know, he talks about the Way, but it's the Way because when Jesus says, come to me, and there's a path coming to Jesus. So the Christian life is a life that's very full of difficulty and suffering and trials. But it is the most promisingly satisfying life. That's the promise. So the Christian life... Can I have some water? Sorry. All right. So the Christian life is a life that is just satisfying. Now, I think probably the most difficult thing about this fallen world is admitting that we have a problem. Now, when you are an alcoholic, you know you have a problem. Okay? And you go to treatment, and the first thing you have to say is what? Do you know? If you go to get help if you're an alcoholic, you have to admit that you have a problem. You have to say, I'm an alcoholic. You have to admit that you have a problem. Now, the problem is, a lot of times, it's hard to admit that you have a problem. Now, a lot of us in this church now, for many of us, we came to Jesus Christ because we were able to admit that we had a problem. And the Holy Spirit is moving to show us that we have a problem. And sometimes we think that the problem are our symptoms. So I have sometimes tendonitis. And sometimes it's so bad that they give me steroid pills. And... when I take the steroid pills, the inflammation goes away and the problem is very helped. But what happens after I stop taking the pill? It comes back, doesn't it? And so the problem is my pain, but the pain points to a deeper problem, doesn't it? And it could be that I'm using it too much. Maybe I pay too much tennis, which I don't. When you get old, right? The problem is you actually just use it. You know what I mean? So my problem, the pain points to the problem. The pain isn't the underlying foundational problem. You understand what I'm saying? So the pain points to the problem. Now, sometimes in the modern life, if you have enough money, and many of us, we don't think we have enough money, But we're really good at covering the problem, which is pain. That's what we think. So we cover our pain with a lot of medicines. Netflix is a good medicine. And I'm saying internet shopping. It could be other things. I don't know how you comfort yourself when you are in pain. I want to read a story about a man named Zacchaeus. And then and talk about Zacchaeus, a man, a very small man, who had a problem. Let's turn to Luke 19, verse 1. Now, Jesus' headquarters was in the north, in Galilee. And he would come to Jerusalem from time to time. And sometimes he went through the heart of Samaria, which is kind of this middle region. So Galilee's up here, Samaria's here, Judea is here, and Jerusalem is in Judea. And sometimes he goes straight through Samaria, and sometimes he goes kind of around what they call the Jordan Valley, following the Jordan River. And then he was about to come into the town of Jericho. So he does come into the town of Jericho. And we're picking it up because Jesus has come from Galilee to now Jericho. Let's pick it up. Luke chapter 19, if you have your Bibles or your phone, you want to read with me. Oh, it's up here. Okay. He entered Jericho and was passing through because he was on his way to Jerusalem. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Now, people back then weren't very tall. It weren't like the Israelites were like super humongously tall. But Zacchaeus was very, very small. Like noticeably small. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all grumbled. So people around, they were like, what is Jesus doing? Doesn't he know that he's a tax collector? He has gone into the guest of a man who is a sinner. Now that word is the word hamartolo. Okay? Hamartia, as you remember, is the Greek word for sin. Okay? It means there's a target, and if you miss it, that's sin. So he was a man that was not on the right path. And so Zacchaeus was lost. But Zacchaeus was somebody who knew he was lost. And we'll talk about that. John 16:8, before we go on, says, the Holy Spirit comes and he will convict the world concerning sin. What the Holy Spirit does when he saves you, when he saved you, is convince you that you are lost. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know what the Holy Spirit says? He said, hey, you have a problem. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. So if you know that you have a problem, then the Holy Spirit is the one talking to you. Because we are, in our human nature, we ignore that we have a problem. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone, anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what? The lost. Jesus is coming to people who say, I have a problem. Jesus loves to come next to people to say, I'm needy. I'm lost. People who know that I have a problem. Now, before the story of Zacchaeus, there's another story. It's the story of the rich young ruler. Now, they were both very rich. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, and he was probably the richest of the Israelites in that region, or especially in that town. But he cheated people. He cheated people, probably. And he worked with the Romans. Two strikes against Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man who had no honor amongst his people. No honor. People, when they saw Zacchaeus, it's like, you know, like people outright disrespected him. Now, Zacchaeus, it's obvious that Zacchaeus had a problem. But the rich young ruler, before Jesus went to Jericho in chapter 18 of Luke, is a story about a rich young ruler. And so Luke gives a story of a rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler thinks he doesn't have a problem. And then we see this rich young man who knows he has a problem. The rich young ruler, Jesus tells the rich young ruler, because, you know, Jesus says, have you done this? Have you done that? And the rich young ruler says, yes, yes, I'm amazing. I do all these right things. You know, I'm a righteous man. And he was probably like one of the, perhaps even a member of a Sanhedrin, like the rulers of Israel. He had a high position. And he was also very wealthy. So he had a problem, but didn't know he had a problem. Now Jesus says one thing. He says one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, right? And then follow me. Because you rich young ruler, now his problem was bigger than that. But he couldn't admit he had a problem. Because, you know why? Because he was doing so many right things. Do you know that if you do a lot of right things, you think you're right and you don't have a problem? You know, I go to church, you know, I do this, I do that. But deep down inside, there's still pain, there's still emptiness, and it's hard to admit, you know, I got a problem. Maybe I stay on my phone too long, I surf the internet too much, I look at things I shouldn't be looking at, I buy things I shouldn't be buying. You know, I have a problem. But instead of saying, Jesus, help me, because I have a problem, because the promise of the Christian life is satisfaction. Satisfaction in Jesus, not the things that Jesus offers. Now, when we can't admit that we have a problem, you know how we know we have a problem? It's hard to talk about the problem. We don't like to talk about it. We're not very transparent. We are not very honest with each other. So the problem is, you know you are humble, because God gives grace to the humble. It's humility. What humility is admitting that you have a problem and you're willing to tell other people about it. Now, when you are able to admit you have a problem, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes courage to admit you have a problem. And it also takes love. See, the thing about it is we're afraid to admit we have a problem. Now, this is the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he comes with love to let you know it's okay to let go. It's okay. To all the things that you keep, you know, all the ointments, all the things that you're doing to cover up your pain, stop. Invite me in and let me satisfy you. When we are not able to admit we have a problem, it's called deception. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. How do we know this? In our relationships. We have a problem. We keep getting hurt. We keep taking that pain and responding very sinfully to that pain. We're full of bitterness. We don't trust people. You know, we don't like to be honest with people. You know, like we don't like it. And that's called darkness. When we are deceived and we are not, the problem isn't the alcohol. The problem is the emptiness that the alcohol is trying to fill. Does that make sense? The problem isn't that you look at the phone too much. That's not the problem. The problem is you're covering up something that goes much deeper. The problem is you're not looking to Jesus to fill that void. And so the enemy wants to cover up the problem. The enemy wants to get you to keep putting that lotion on that wound. John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. What Jesus loves to do, he loves to come and he wants to shine the light into the darkness. That means he wants to shine the light straight into your problem. Now that's hard. For a lot of the ladies, if you went to the retreat, you probably, the Spirit of God came, the Word of God, and maybe revealed things inside of you. And that's very uncomfortable sometimes, isn't it? You know, all the pain and why you act the way you act, why you talk the way you talk, why you don't trust people, why you lash out, you know, all the disappointment, the bitterness, right? When the Spirit of God comes to expose the darkness, the problem, it isn't because the Spirit isn't just pointing to a problem to let you know you have a problem. You know what that's called? Because we do that sometimes. We let people know, hey, you got a problem, man. Right? That's called condemnation. If right now, if the Holy Spirit revealed to you that you have a problem, the enemy is going to come and try to condemn you and make you feel bad about your problem. That's the enemy. What Jesus wants to do is to come with his light to let you know that you are very much accepted with your problem and that it's okay, because he wants to come and bring healing to your problem. Now, that's supernatural. That is very supernatural. And that's what this church is. That's what church is. The church is a hospital for people with problems. It's not a place where it's not the place for the rich young rulers, for people who come trying to get their religion. You know, we want to get after the problem. You know why? Because Jesus wants to get after the problem. Because he is the light. He's all about. But if you try to block the light, right? You don't want that. And you want to just, you know, focus on the symptoms. Church cannot help with the symptoms. The church is about getting to the root of the problem, which is our emptiness, which is our pain, which is the loneliness. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, because he is bringing the light of Jesus Christ right into your problem. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this is great news. But here's the thing. Now we gotta want it. And it's supernatural. And this is what we pray for. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna say, it's okay to say, God, I think my problem is not alcohol. My problem isn't the phone. My problem isn't the internet. My problem is not porn. My problem is deeper than that. My problem is that Jesus is not my satisfaction. My problem is I have not been satisfied in Jesus in a long time. I look to other things to be satisfied. If that's the case, then that's the problem. We're missing the mark. That's called sin. When you look to other things to satisfy you, when you look to other things to heal you, it's called sin. It's called being lost. It's called being in the dark. And what we want to do is ask the Holy Spirit to come and bring light into the darkness to get after the problem, to satisfy us so that God would fill us, convict us that He is the only way. And then He's going to free us from chasing after the other solutions so that we stay on the right way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, send Your Holy Spirit, God. I just pray, Lord, that as we just come before You, oh, shine the light of Jesus Christ, God. Shine the love and the acceptance, God. Convince us that You are the way, that You are the solution. Oh, God, pry our hands loose from all the idols in our lives. God, help us. God, be our satisfaction. God, would You come and heal? Would You come and comfort? Would You bring Your peace? God, would You bring the Holy Spirit and fill us, God? And as we leave here, as we fellowship, God, would You convince us that turning to You and asking for the Holy Spirit, God, is our solution. And so, God, don't let us, God, look to anything else but You. Oh, satisfy us, God. Satisfy us. In Jesus' name, amen.